Think about the last time you flew commercial. Not in the jump seat, not in the left seat, back in the cabin as a passenger. Maybe on a deadhead, maybe on vacation, maybe on a family trip where you decided to splurge a little, you upgraded to something with more legroom, a footrest, a menu that didn't read like a vending machine selection. The flight felt different. And if you've been paying attention to what the major carriers are doing with their international cabins in 2026, you already know that a little more legroom doesn't come close to covering it anymore. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today, we're looking at the premium economy arms race that's reshaping how two of the country's biggest carriers think about long-haul flying. American Airlines has a new premium economy product. Delta has Premium Select. Both are after the same passenger. And the competition between them tells us something interesting about where commercial aviation is putting its money, its aircraft, and its ambitions heading into the second half of this decade. Before we get into it, a word from today's sponsor, AviationSoul.com. Challenge coins built for pilots, from your first solo to your airline transport pilot certificate. Every milestone you've earned in this business deserves something that marks it. Aviation Soul coins are built to that standard. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk premium economy. For a long stretch of commercial aviation history, the international cabin had three tiers, and that was the end of the conversation. First class up front, business class in the middle, economy in the back. The dividing lines were clear. The pricing reflected it. The service reflected it. And for most of aviation's golden era, that structure held. Then something shifted. The economics of first class started getting complicated. Full flatbed business class crept forward and ate into the top tier. Airlines began retiring dedicated first-class cabins on many routes, collapsing the top two tiers into a single premium forward cabin. And, down in the economy section, passengers started demanding more than the 31-inch pitch that had become standard. Premium economy emerged to fill that space. Not quite business, meaningfully better than economy. And as it turns out, there's a very large market of travelers who sit exactly in that gap, road warriors who can't convince their company to buy business class. Leisure travelers who've saved up for a once-a-year long haul and want to arrive feeling like a human being. Pilots deadheading on their own airline, hoping the premium economy seats haven't all been taken by commuters in the wrong uniform. Load factors in premium economy have climbed steadily across the industry. The unit revenue per seat in that cabin tier has outperformed expectations on multiple carriers. Airlines noticed. And now, in 2026, two of the country's largest international operators are in a full sprint to claim that passenger. Here's what American Airlines is bringing to the table with their new product. The carrier has been rolling out a significantly upgraded premium economy configuration across their wide-body international fleet. The seats offer a recline and a pitch that put real distance between this product and the standard economy cabin. American has pushed hard on the in-flight entertainment side. Larger screens, improved resolution, better integration with personal devices. The power and connectivity at each seat has been upgraded, and the service package that accompanies the seat has been revised upward, enhanced meal service, expanded amenity kits, dedicated overhead bin space, priority boarding. American has also made a deliberate point of talking about consistency. That word matters. One of the persistent frustrations with airline premium products at any level is the gap between what's advertised and what's actually on the aircraft that operated your route that day. You book what looks like a premium cabin. You show up and discover the aircraft has an older configuration. The seats you were promised are on a different fleet type. It happens. It erodes trust. American is publicly committing to a more standardized rollout across their qualifying international routes, which means that if you book this product on a transatlantic American flight, the expectation is that you'll get the product you paid for regardless of which tail number shows up at the gate. That's a meaningful operational commitment. And it's one that requires real work across fleet scheduling, maintenance, and configuration management. Now, Delta's Premium Select has been the reference point in this conversation for years. Delta built Premium Select into their international operation well ahead of most North American carriers. The product lives on their long-haul wide-body fleet, primarily the Airbus 350 and the Boeing 767 on key routes, and it's built around a seat that offers roughly 38 inches of pitch, along with a noticeably wider seat width compared to economy. The cabin is typically positioned mid-aircraft, which gives Premium Select passengers a physical separation from the main economy section. The meal service is elevated. Bedding options include additional pillow and blanket amenities. The boarding process prioritizes that cabin clearly. What Delta built with Premium Select wasn't just a seat upgrade, it was a cabin identity. They gave it a distinct feel, and they've had years to refine that feel based on actual passenger feedback, actual operational experience, actual crew training cycles that have gone through multiple iterations on the pure seat specification. American's new product narrows the gap with Delta meaningfully. Whether American has fully closed, it depends on the specific aircraft and the specific route. But the comparison is now genuinely close in a way it wasn't 2 or 3 years ago, where Delta still holds an advantage isn't something you can't spec sheet your way into. Institutional knowledge. When you've operated a premium cabin product for several years, you've worked out the details that don't show up in a brochure. The sequencing of meal service, the training specific to passenger expectations in that tier. The way the galley is stocked, the crew culture around what that cabin means. Delta's premium select crews have been doing this long enough that the service has a rhythm. That kind of refinement takes time. American is buying time with investment. A better seat, a better entertainment package, a more consistent rollout. The question is whether execution catches up to the hardware upgrade before passengers form hard opinions. Now here's the part of this story that matters beyond which seat has a better footrest. If you're a line pilot at a major carrier, or you're working through the turbines on your way there, the premium cabin investment made by these airlines directly connects to decisions that affect your career. Airlines don't upgrade their cabin products in isolation. When a carrier puts serious money into a premium economy seat and a premium economy service program, they are simultaneously making a bet on the routes those seats fly. Premium economy lives on wide-body international routes. Transatlantic, Trans-Pacific, long-haul Latin America. When American invests in this product, they are signaling confidence in international wide-body demand. They are committing to routes that require the Boeing 787, the Airbus 350 aircraft that need crews, captains, first officers, flight attendants trained to that cabin, ground personnel at international stations. That's a job signal as much as it's a product announcement. Delta's Premium Select has supported a fleet strategy built around the Airbus 350 that has given Delta a meaningful presence on some of the most competitive long-haul routes in the world. Atlanta to Amsterdam, Los Angeles to Seoul, New York to Paris. Those routes carry Premium Select, and Premium Select has been part of why Delta can price those routes the way it does and still fill the cabin. American's investment in their new premium economy product is tied to their own transoceanic route strategy. Dallas to London, Miami to Madrid, New York to Tokyo. The 787 and the Airbus 350 are the vehicles for this. And the premium economy cabin is part of what makes the economics of those routes work. For anyone watching fleet orders, watching route expansion, watching where the hiring cycles are building, this is context worth having. There's also a regulatory dimension to any discussion of cabin reconfiguration that's worth naming. When American or Delta equips a new seat across a wide-body fleet, that process involves approval from the Federal Aviation Administration or FAA. Every seat that goes into an aircraft cabin has to meet specific standards for occupant protection during turbulence and impact. The structural attachment of the seat, the seatbelt geometry, the proximity to emergency exits, these are all evaluated. Cabin density decisions have emergency evacuation implications, which means the FAA has a direct interest in how airlines configure their premium economy sections relative to exit row placement and aisle width. This isn't a rubber stamp process. It's a genuine engineering and certification exercise. And when an airline says they're rolling out a new seat configuration across a major fleet type, there's a significant certification effort behind that statement that passengers never see. From a crew perspective, the expansion of premium economy cabins also changes the service math on these flights. A premium economy cabin has service expectations above what economy crews are trained to deliver in the same time frame. Airlines expanding these cabins are revising galley configurations to support more complex meal service at cruise altitude. They're updating crew training programs. They're rethinking boarding procedures to manage the experience for premium economy passengers from the moment they arrive at the gate. Running two elevated cabin tiers on a single long-haul flight, business class forward and premium economy mid-cabin, is a genuine operational complexity. Getting it right requires coordination that goes well beyond the seat design itself. So where does this leave us heading into the second half of 2026? American is playing catch-up in some respects, let's be honest about that. Delta has had years of runway on this product, but the gap is narrowing and American's new offering is genuinely competitive in a way it hasn't been before. Whether their product surpasses Delta's Premium Select will be determined by execution more than hardware at this point. The seats are close enough. The question is whether the service, the consistency, and the crew execution match what's been put on paper. Delta still holds the advantage of time and refinement. Passenger loyalty to Premium Select is real and documented. That doesn't evaporate because a competitor upgrades their configuration. What's worth stepping back and appreciating is that this competition is fundamentally healthy for the aviation system. When two major carriers are in a genuine race to improve the quality of their premium economy product, passengers benefit directly. But so does the industry. Investment in cabin products drives investment in aircraft. Investment in aircraft drives orders, which drives manufacturing, which drives the supply chain that keeps thousands of people employed across aerospace. A carrier willing to spend on premium economy is a carrier that believes in demand for long-haul international flying. That belief expressed through capital spending matters. For the GA pilot who thinks commercial aviation is someone else's world, or the student who's still building hours toward a professional certificate, the financial health of the major carriers is not an abstraction. It's the foundation that long-term career stability in commercial aviation is built on. An airline that can only make money at the top of the cabin or only in the back of the plane is a fragile operation. Diversified revenue across multiple cabin tiers builds resilience. And resilience is what keeps hiring pipelines open through the inevitable economic cycles that every carrier eventually faces. My sources today come from Simple Flying, along with product and fleet information available directly from American Airlines and Delta Airlines. You can find more aviation coverage at RadioHangard.com. I'm Tower. Stay ahead of the aircraft.